You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, World Series Edition.
Woohoo!
This is the big one, folks. We usually do about 10 minutes. We might kick it up to 11 with this one, right? I'm here with Jeffrey Flanagan and Anthony DiComo, MLB.com beat writers for the Royals and Mets, respectively. This is the big showdown, gentlemen. You know, there's many ways to look at this series, but I'm most intrigued by power pitching and power hitting versus the Royals, this dynamic defense, putting the ball in play, exceptional bullpen. And not that the Mets don't have an exceptional bullpen, but they are certainly, you know, kind of different teams, differently constructed. I want to start with you, Jeffrey, since your club has met its expectations, which is, it's pretty incredible. I think, not that any of us rolled our eyes, but in spring training, they were so adamant that they were going to get back here and win this thing. And to me, it wasn't so much a knock on the Royals so much as an acceptance of how difficult it is to repeat in this game. But they did it. You got to give them all the credit in the world.
And they were, you know, go back to game four of the ALDS, they were six outs away from winter. I mean, that's how close it came. You know, they were had to make a tremendous rally to get five runs off of Houston and win that game, win game five behind Cueto. Had some issues with LA Toronto, too. And it has been their singular goal since spring training started. And anything short of actually winning at all is going to be a major disappointment for them.
Anthony, a lot of people can look at the Mets as maybe even a year ahead of schedule. I know I kind of thought this might be more of a bridge year for them. Maybe they get into October, but probably not this deep. Obviously, the Nationals stunned everybody falling back in the division, and the Mets really took advantage of that situation. And now, again, using that power pitching to get to this point in the postseason, what is your read on this club's readiness? Obviously, this is a new environment for a lot of these guys. What's your thoughts on them reaching the Fall Classic?
Well, the reason why they did what they did at the trade deadline, why they went out and got a huge piece in Cespedes, went out and did some other deals, Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe, and so on and so forth, was because of what the Nationals were doing in large part. They right. sensed that the window was open, a window that they weren't sure in spring training if it would be open. And this team does feel like it's well-positioned going forward because of the young pitching, but there's a lot of question marks on the offense, the lineup going forward, what's it going to look like next year. So I don't think they're banking on the fact that they're just going to be here every year. I think they see this as their year, as a time when, yeah, they've overcome expectations, but they've been one of, if not the best team in baseball since the start of August. So I think they realize that. They know that they're a good team. They know they're as good, if not better, than anyone. So it's not necessarily a just happy to be here. They want to win. Because they reached this point, it's just like in July, because they reached the point where they could see first place, they wanted to go after it at that point. Well, now they can see the part where they take home the trophy, and they want to go after it. They're not just going to go home and say, we're happy because we won the pennant. They want to win the whole thing.
Jeffrey, how do you feel the Royals lineup against this power pitching that the Mets possess in their starting staff? Royals are a good fastball hitting team this season. Mm-hmm. Some numbers indicate they struggle a little bit more against the really upper echelon velocity, although many people do. In general, how does this offense profile against this pitching?
Well, against pitches that are 95 miles an hour and up, they're hitting 284, so that's not too shabby. Okay. And they're a team that just swings at everything. They swing right. at planes overhead, throws to first. They, you know, if there's a ball behind them, it's probably a check swing because they're just very aggressive. They don't take walks. Every single year, the last few years, they've been last in walks, but they're also fewest strikeouts. So they use their athleticism, they put the ball in play, make you play defense, and I think we're going to see that this series. We talk a lot about the power arms that they have, but they're not going to go up there and swing and miss like the Cubs will. They will make contact, and they will put the ball in play. So they'll put some pressure on the Mets defense. They'll probably have more of a running game than we've seen in the last couple series. It's just going to be very interesting to see how they match up against that power.
And Anthony, obviously a big focus of this series is Daniel Murphy and the role he is on. And of course, paired with Cespedes in the middle of that lineup. I guess it seems like one matchup in the series is that middle of the order versus this ballpark, you know, coming here where the ball notoriously does not carry very well. What are your thoughts on that element?
Well, I mean, the Mets have shown all year long, really, how one guy getting hot can change the face of a lineup. You know, it was Lucas Duda for a time, then it was Cespedes for a time when he hit 17 home runs in like 20 games or something like that. you know, and now it's been Daniel Murphy, and it's been Daniel Murphy for 3 weeks. I don't think the Mets are necessarily banking on him going out and, you know, hitting a home run every night again. He might, because because he's done. But realistically, you've got some guys in this lineup that really haven't produced. Up until game four of the NLCS, Lucas Duda had done pretty much nothing. So if he suddenly gets hot, and we've seen in the past he can just snap his fingers and go from ice cold to red hot, that changes the lineup, much like Murphy getting hot did. You know, if Cespedes and his shoulder are fully healthy and ready to hit home runs like he did in August and early September, that changes the lineup. If David Wright hits for power, which he didn't really do much during the playoffs, although he did get a little hot towards the end of the Cubs series, that changes. So they just have, you know, in contrast to Mets teams in the past where you were looking at two or three guys and you needed at least one or two of them to be hot, sometimes they were all cold at the same time. This team legitimately has eight guys who can get hot, and if two of them do, they're going to have a chance. I don't think you're going to see super low-scoring games here, at least not to the level of, you know, what the Mets pitching has done previously in October. I think there's going to be some runs on the board, and unlike the Royals, the Mets are just going to be trying to bash it out of the ballpark every time they get up.
Jeffrey downstairs talking to Dave Island, Royals pitching coach, about Daniel Murphy, and one thing he said was, he's looked pretty comfortable, let's put it that way. The intimation being, we're not going to let him be comfortable. He's known to crowd the plate a little bit. But this Royals pitching staff, well, first of all, you can explain to people how the rotation sets up, since that's something that's just been addressed now by Ned Yost. What's their plan of attack here?
Yeah, the only kind of wild card there was they moved up Johnny Cueto to the number two spot behind Volquez, who will start game one. And Ventura will go game three. Chris Young will go game four. And they did that because Johnny's had some issues on the road, as we all know, and there was that historically bad start in Toronto, and the crowd was on him the whole time, and the crowd was on him when he came out of the game, and he had kind of that goofy expression as he came off, and Ned just doesn't want to see that again. So he'll go games two and six and have the home crowd support behind him. I just talked to Johnny, too, about it, and yeah, he's kind of frustrated that people tend to remember that game, that start in the World Series, and not how well he pitched in Game 5 of the ALDS to get them here. Mm-hmm. And so he's very comfortable pitching here. That was probably the big influential decision to make for Ned going into the postseason with the World Series, I mean, for his rotation. So that's pretty much the thinking there.
Anthony, talk about the way the Mets rotation lines up for this World Series.
Yeah, it's actually kind of ironic. The reason why Matt Harvey is pitching game one for the Mets is because they see him as the one guy that they're comfortable pitching three times in this series. And not starting three games, but he would come back for game five, and then theoretically you would have him out of the bullpen, even if just for an inning, in game seven. So after all of the innings hoopla, and we're worried about this and we're worried about that, that's the guy they wanted to turn to. It's partially because he's looked so strong of late. He's pitched so well. But a huge part of it was how Jacob DeGrom looked. And I know Jacob DeGrom is 3-0 in the postseason, and that's great. But the Mets are a little wary of how he looked in NLDS Game 5 and then again in NLCS Game 3. Both times, first the Dodgers and then the Cubs kind of had him on the ropes and weren't able to get that big hit against him. And he did settle down, and he wound up going, you know, 5-6 innings in both of those games. I think he wound up going 7, actually, in Game 5 of the NLDS. But they're a little wary that he's getting tired, and they saw it with him in September. They skipped his start, and he came back guns blazing and looked like himself again. So they're hoping that that's what this extra rest, with this extra layoff going to the World Series is going to do. Really, it's a nice luxury for the Mets because, you know, they're going Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats. What if you had gone Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey, or Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard? What, you know, it doesn't matter. These guys all throw hard. They're all really good. They've all been really good in October. So this is what they're most comfortable with, but it's not like there was a bad scenario for them coming into the series.
Three homegrown starters in a World Series. That's very rare. I'm going to go with both you guys. X factor for this series. I'm thinking along the lines of a position player, especially. Who's your X factor in this particular series, Jeff?
Ben Zobrist. He's the anti-Royal hitter. He's up there. He actually does take walks, and he does work pitchers, and he can go deep too. He's hit a couple home runs in the postseason, and has put together some really nice games, and he could be the big factor here.
Mr. DeComo.
I'm going to go with the closer, Familia. I mean, he's been absolutely lights out in October. He has shown a willingness and an ability to come in and get as many as six outs. So with the Mets and Terry Collins really not trusting a whole lot of other guys, maybe no one else aside from Bartolo Colon, in that bullpen, I think he can make the difference between winning and losing a lot of games. So, I'm going to go with Jeurys Familia.
Two great closers in this series, that's for sure. Familia has been a great story, probably an underrated story. You don't hear much about him nationally. And, of course, Wade Davis, what he's done the last 2 years. All right, I'm going to put both you guys on the spot. Let's do a prediction. Jeffrey, we'll start with you.
I'm going to wuss out and say Royals in seven.
Royals in seven.
Wow.
And bottom of the ninth.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Wow. So, you know, I'll be the bad guy. And this is no slight against the Mets. I think these are two very evenly matched teams. But the Royals have been here. They know what it takes to win. Their lineup is built as well as the lineup can be built to beat the Mets' strength, which is that starting pitching. I'm going to say Royals in six.
I'm also going to say Royals in six. I guess we're in agreement on that, which means congrats to the New York Mets.
All right.
We just made it happen for you.
champions.
Yeah, there's just something, though, about the Royals that I've been around them a lot this year, and I'm not stunned that they're here, but they did have a swagger to them all season about getting back to this moment, and it's just hard to see them being denied. But we'll see if anybody can do it. It's that Mets staff that we've been talking about quite a bit. I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan and Anthony DeComo. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras World Series Edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.